This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 126 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, November 1st, 2013. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, and joining me this week is my co-host, Sarah Gooding. Sarah, welcome back.
It's great to be here.
You got to be a little quicker on that mute button. Great to have you back this week. A number of things to talk about. In today's episode, we have our special guest, Corey Miller of iThemes, and I've been looking forward to this episode all week just because Corey and I have, it's an interesting history where he, as a business owner and theme producer, started around the 2008 time period, and I, as an end user, looking for various innovations and themes to make building websites easier. We've kind of have two different perspectives on that time frame of WordPress between today and 2008, so I think it'll be great to kind of intertwine and talk about that in today's show. But before we get to that, we want to get you caught up on this week's headlines. And the first story we want to talk about is WordPress 3.7.1 was released. And you wrote about this, Sarah, and apparently this is a historical maintenance release, correct?
Yes, indeed. It's the first time that people didn't have to click to get their updates. So it's pretty exciting. A lot of people had to wait a while because they rolled it out slowly. So everyone was tweeting, hey, I woke up this morning and I got the notice in my inbox that my WordPress site upgraded last night. So it's been a pretty exciting week.
You know how hard it was to not click that update button in the back end of WPTavern.com? No, we've been trained that if there's an update, you have to update immediately. So I really wanted to push that button. And it was there for a good, I'd say, 12 hours or more. And I started wondering, will I ever see this automatic update take place? And eventually I woke up one morning, saw the email. The site didn't blow up. Says, hey, you're upgraded to 3.7.1. Congratulations. And it was easy as pie. You know, and that's the way it's supposed to be. I have read a couple of reports from people saying that they've had some problems upgrading, but Andrew Nason put out on Twitter that out of 250,000 upgrades to the maintenance release, that there was like a 99% success rate, and the failures were actually caused by not being able to properly copy over files, which was no big deal, really. And Andrew also tweeted that come this weekend, they'll be rolling out a full postmortem of the WordPress 3.7.1 background updates rollout, which will include lots of lessons learned and some new ideas about going about this in the future. And the interesting thing about 3.7.1 is that there was such a delay before rolling it out to everybody that I started noticing a lot of people thinking that automatic updates were broken because they, you know, they were waiting and waiting and waiting and never got the email.
Right.
So WordPress 3.7 has already passed the 2 million download mark. Congratulations. And now that we've seen, I think each auto update actually counts as a download. I'd have to get confirmation on that, but that's how it usually worked when you'd actually click the button on the website. So we should be seeing those numbers increase dramatically with each successful version of WordPress release. So look forward to this weekend. Somewhere in the Make.Core, probably WordPress blog, is where they're going to post that postmortem information, and we'll have more news about that on next week's show. The second headline we want to talk about is that Akismet has celebrated a huge milestone this past week in blocking its billionth, and yeah, that's billion with a B, its billionth spam message. So that's 100,000,000,000,000,000. So that is a lot of spam. And I actually took a screenshot. When I took the screenshot of the counter, it was actually at 100,047,084,000 with at least 112 million spam messages blocked that day alone. So congratulations, Akismet. Some people have complained, well, if they're blocking a billion spam messages, how come so many of them are getting through the filters on their website? I don't have any idea. I do know that since installing a couple of helpers in front of Akismet, such as the Cookies for Comments plugin and the Simple Trackback Validation plugin, I've seen a dramatic decrease in the amount of spam messages that get caught in the Akismet queue. So before they even reach Akismet, they're already taken care of by these two plugins, and it's been just a huge improvement versus having to empty the spam queue via Akismet. And I was actually, before I installed these two plugins, I'd empty the queue, and I'd see one spam comment in the queue. So I'd empty it again. I'd see two. It's a constant barrage of spam. Well, these plugins have taken care of it. And in fact, if you're using Jetpack, there's a widget that you can display on your website on one of your sidebars via Akismet that actually shows the public how many spam messages have been blocked on your website. To me, the color is green, just like the Akismet site, so it may not look very good on many different websites. And because of the styling on the bottom of the below the spam count message, it sort of gives the appearance that there's a CSS styling issue or that that widget area is broken. So other than that, it just gives you the number of how many spam messages have been blocked. So, you know, considering the different types of services and APIs that are available that can tap into the Akismet service, I don't think it shouldn't take nearly as long to reach 200 billion. You know, at some point, I forget where it's located, but they have the United States National Debt Clock somewhere, which keeps counting the amount of dollars that the United States is in debt. What if Akismet had a counter below that? It'd be interesting to see if there's more spam versus us spending more money as a country. But just to kind of see which one's going up higher and faster. Last but not least, and we'll talk about more about this next week, but this week we want to talk about WordPress 3.8 development heats up with discussion of new core features. And Sarah, you highlighted four things that may be coming down the pike in WordPress 3.8. What are they?
It looks like there are four plugins that they're considering. They asked everyone to present their plugins with, screenshots and an explanation of the problem that they solve. And four of the plugins presented on the Make WordPress Core blog, including the dashboard plugin that changes the dashboard to show the things that people use more often. They did a survey and found out what was working there and what could be improved. And there's a nice new design for that. So that's the first one. And then MP6 is probably the one that most people are familiar with already. Let's see. That redesigns the admin area, all the screens that you see, and makes it responsive and brings a higher contrast to the design, so it's easier to use. The third one is OmniSearch, which you can already find in Jetpack if you want to try it out. It lets you search anything within the admin that you're looking for. So maybe you remember that you wanted to find something, but you don't know if it's a comment or a post that somebody else wrote. You can search everything in the admin with the OmniSearch, the OmniSearch plugin. Last one is the theme experience, and that just improves the page where people look to add new themes to their WordPress site. And you can see the ones that are installed and check out your preview and everything. And it just kind of tidies up that whole experience. So I personally would love to see all of these in 3.8. You know, it's not up to me, but they're all really cool, and I hope that we'll get to see those included.
Yeah, with Matt Mulloway being the lead developer of WordPress 3.8, and there are at least three questions that have to be answered before these plugins can be added to Core, and they have to answer yes to the following. Does the feature belong in Core? Is the feature ready for Core? And should the feature be in this release? And I was thinking the other day that if at least half of these, or if all of them or at least half of them were added to WordPress 3.8, and then in combination you have the 2014 default theme, WordPress 3.8, in my opinion, would be a hell of a release for users. But it would be awesome to see all four added, plus the default theme. That would be a heck of a release.
Yep, and the cool thing is that if you want to try it out right now, you can grab any of these plugins and install them on a test site and you know, go ahead and see how they work. And let's say one of them doesn't make it into Core, you can still use the plugin on your own site if you want to have it on your WordPress install.
I know somebody asked, what's the difference between the OmniSearch plugin suggested for Core and the one that already comes in the Jetpack plugin? Well, Jeremy Herve commented and said that if OmniSearch is added to the Core of WordPress, then the one that's inside Jetpack will be retired. So there's really no difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
One would just be a Core feature without the need to use Jetpack. Now, out of all these, you're right, it would be nice to see all of them because all of them are nice improvements to things that are already in WordPress, but the ones that kind of get my attention is the redesigned dashboard, where they've gotten rid of a few widgets, they've reorganized and redesigned some of the existing widgets and sort of made them more useful. And it's nice that they also added a lot of hooks, especially to the, I think it's a site content area, or might be the activity area, where developers can actually hook into that area and add different things to the activity stream. So in the future, if that's added to Core, it'd be interesting to see how developers take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. That would be really exciting. And I think MP6 is probably the one that's my favorite.
Right.
If that doesn't get added, I'm going to cry myself to sleep every night until it until they include it in Core.
Well, oh, good news is, guess what? It's a plugin. So
yeah.
You can just keep the plugin installed. We've been using it here on WP Tavern for a long time. In fact, out of all the color schemes that are added to MP6, I'm a fan of Midnight. I'm not too much of a fan of the seaweed or the other color schemes. MP6 Dark would have to be my next favorite. But one of the things about MP6 that developers are going to have to take note of is that some of these plugins that I've installed have their own icons, a custom icon, and some of them are dark blue or have dark colors on them, and they don't look great with MP6 using the left sidebar as a dark color. So these guys and gals are going to have to come out with new versions of their plugins that use I think it's called SVG or some type of transparent looking plugin that looks nice, or image that looks great with MP6 on all the different color schemes, because now just having a colorful icon isn't going to work because of all the different color schemes they have on MP6. So
right.
That's one thing to keep in mind of, and hopefully by this time next week, I'm going to try and get a couple of different people on the show, and we can have a little round table, and we can kind of go in depth on the features for WordPress 3.8 and kind of talk about what we'd like to see, enhancements or other things slated for development in that version. So that's going to do it for this week's headlines. Time to bring on our special guest. His name is Corey Miller. You may have seen him from iThemes or Plugin Buddy, Backup Buddy, you name it, you've probably heard of him. He's been around the WordPress community since 2008. He's a former newspaper journalist and public relations communications practitioner turned freelance moonlighting web designer turned full-time entrepreneur. Guys, is there anything this guy hasn't done? In January 2008, Corey founded iThemes in his home, fulfilling the lifelong dream of running his own company, and now they have webdesign.com and pluginbuddy.com, among a whole bunch of other fun projects in between. Apparently, he has books, which is great for Fiverr, and he also helped write one as well. Corey, thank you very much for taking some time out of your schedule to be on the show today with us.
Well, thanks, Jeff and Sarah.
So, is that true? Do you really eat books?
As much as I can.
how do they taste? Do you ever have one that tastes good?
They're pretty bland unless you put, like, salsa or something like that on them. The books I eat now typically come on the Kindle, and so I take my library around with me on my iPhone, and then, of course, synced up with the cloud reader on my laptop. But
you haven't resorted to licking the Kindle screen, have you? I think we should get into the show and stop talking about
your content. Yeah. Sarah, get the mute button ready to go.
So Corey, I thought it'd be great to have you on the show because, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I kind of got started writing about WordPress around the time frame of January 2008, which is around the same time you got involved with launching your business, iThemes, which was at that time just a commercial theme company. And I thought it'd be fun to reminisce and kind of go back in time and visit a couple different milestones between your journey of when you started and where we're at now. And going all the way back to January 2008, you know, what was it that pushed you into starting your own commercial WordPress theme company in iThemes?
So I go back in WordPress a little bit past that. I had started a WordPress blog. I told Sarah the other night, we're both in Oklahoma. She's in Tulsa and I'm in Oklahoma City, and we got to meet in person this week. But I told her that my dirty little secret was I started a Blogger blog first, then quickly realized how limiting that was, and then transitioned into WordPress. The real quick backstory, though, is that I just wanted to – I did not know web design, but I wanted to be able to tweak my own site. And so I started kind of picking up CSS and found how awesome and fun that was, and released my first free theme. It was called Rockin' Blue. And all this work kind of – it was a great day in WordPress at that time. There was a lot of need for good or, in my case, decent, half-decent people to do themes, customization, or just releasing themes. And so I got all this work back, and long story short is I did freelancing for about a year before I started iThemes, and I was working a day job, and then I'd come home sitting at a desk, you know, for 16 hours a day. I'd work up until midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning on client work, and it just wasn't sustainable. But I wanted to go full-time in some kind of business related to web design. But I just, honestly, I just wasn't that talented of a designer to do that full time. I knew I had to become more of a business person that led a startup, some kind of business with other people that were technicians and highly crafted. And so I met some other fellow Oklahomans that helped me get started. And like you said, in January 2008, started iThemes to do commercial WordPress themes. You know, back in that day, we called them premium, but you know.
Yeah, premium WordPress themes. I remember that. And some people still call them that.
You bet.
So way back then, I just kind of want to highlight that in this 2008-2009 time frame, we talked about this on WordPress Weekly. That's around the time where I started the Tavern and I started up the WordPress Weekly show. And there were themes out there. One was called Shifter, which I sort of got in trouble with. That was my first introduction to why GPL themes are cool and why non-GPL themes are uncool. There were some legal ramifications there, which never happened, but I had to deal with threats because I was redistributing Shifter when I shouldn't have been, according to their license. Oh, anyways, wow. That theme was really cool because it had all these different color schemes, and it fulfilled an idea I had, where my idea at the time was, why aren't WordPress themes, why isn't everything widgetized? Why do we have to go based on a strict foundation that a theme author creates or a designer, and we have to kind of live within that box? What if I want sidebars on the left side of the site? What if I want them below the content? Why can't I just drag stuff around like I can with widgets and build the site and present the content in the way I want to have it? And during this time frame of 2008, 2009, 2010, there were themes that were being created at the time that finally introduced ways, whether it was options or adding colors or being able to edit various elements on the site, that sort of enabled this. And you guys actually came out with a theme that sort of tailored to this approach called Flex, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was our first big theme framework, I guess you could say. That was in roughly November of 2008. We came out with Flex, and the idea was, you know, people wanted to change their layout, but didn't want to have to do that with CSS. And so Flex was really a blog theme. It was just kind of meant to put some widget areas in the top and the header area and the footer area, and then change around your content, the guts of your site design. So Flex came out in November of that year. And actually, we were talking about this on the pre-show. That's when our Billboard plugin came out the same time. I forgot about that. It actually came out with Flex, not with Builder.
And if I remember correctly, Billboard was a way to where you can manage ads, correct?
Yeah, just, you know, even today, there's not an easy way to put an image in the widget area from the WordPress widget screen. And so that was just, you know, it's funny. We basically tried to build solutions that cover me, that I can use. And so, you know, having to somehow upload an image to your media library and then, you know, get the code and put it into the widget area was just a pain in the butt for me and the majority of our customers. And so Billboard was just meant to solve that. Put an image like an ad, or like you said, you could put like a whole, you know, 10 pictures of your, you know, portfolio work maybe if you wanted to in there. It was really designed for ads or photos. And by the way, that's still out today.
Okay, and that's Flex with two X's, not just one.
You bet.
Two X's. So what was the – when you guys released Flex and you introduced various ways of controlling how the site content looks, what was the customer reaction to that? Did you see a lot of feedback? Did you get a lot of positive praise from your customers? Was there a lot of demand?
Yeah, and then back then, you know, we're talking about a totally different day in WordPress. This was – there were very few of us commercial premium theme people out there. Brian Gardner, Jason Schuler, I guess the Woo theme guys started at some point during that year too. And so there's very few people doing that, and we were just trying to solve problems for customers and, like I said, myself. And so it was a hit because most of the themes up to that point were, okay, go to here in your CS – in your style sheet, or go here in your – you know, one of your templates in your theme and edit code and things like that. And we tried to find ways to easily do that without having to do that. What we found was, like, people would – we just kind of in those early days and still today, we still practice this, is just see what people are asking and getting held up on in the forums in our support system, and then provide solutions that minimize that, those irritations, frustration points for customers. So it was a hit, and then, you know, even when we released Builder about a year later, people would still be like, I just want to use Flex. We're like, but Builder does so much more. So they held on to it for a long time, and I still see sites. It's still an active theme within our library, and so people are still using it.
Yeah, I remember those days. Go into your functions.php file and register sidebar. It's like, huh? why can't I just click a button that says sidebar left, sidebar right? And eventually we got to see that. And in fact, if we fast forward all the way to today, you know, we have themes out there like Grant Griffith's Headway themes, which is kind of takes it above and beyond what I ever thought was possible with WordPress. It's an actual site builder, and you can control all kinds of different elements. And then we have Builder from iThemes, and we have a couple of other different types of framework themes out there that allow all kinds of – they really empower the user to manage the way their content is presented instead of having to do things within this box that the developer provided them.
Oh, it's interesting when you start mentioning those names and just reflecting back on those first early years. It was, you know, all of us just trying to do some cool stuff and help people. And, you know, we got to meet Grant and Clay at WordCamp Dallas. Actually, I think it was called Open Camp Dallas. And Chris Jean, our lead developer, who's been with me 5 years now, comes up to me and, you know, he's one of the most brilliant human beings I've met in my life, and goes, there's this 16-year-old kid at the Genius Bar, when you could call it the Genius Bar, by the way, yeah. that is building some cool stuff, and that became obviously Headway. And Grant and Clay are some of our dear friends in business and in life.
So I participated in the conversation back in August of 2009, where we began, you know, we as myself and some of the other members of the WordPress community, we started questioning the momentum iThemes carried between when you guys started and August of 2009. We were wondering if whether the company was actually pushing the boundaries of WordPress with innovating themes. And you actually took those comments to heart and responded with a blog post on the iThemes company blog reassuring the company's direction. I was wondering if you could take us back and explain to us how you were feeling when reading those comments about the company not being innovative, and just kind of take us back and explain to us how that felt.
Yeah, you really hurt our feelings, Jeff.
Oh, well, that wasn't my intent, but somehow me hurting your feelings has helped to propel you guys to the success you're having today. Well, I want my paycheck after the show.
Okay, you'll get it. no, I think that was a huge tipping point in our company's history. We, at the time, we were working our butts off in a little office here in Oklahoma City, and we had some remote people at the time, but the core group of us were here in Oklahoma City, and when that came out, we were like, what? We're working our butt off. We've got some cool things coming down the pike, but, you know, this was a different day. Twitter, I don't think, was that like it is today, and you know, it was just a different way of communicating back then. And what we took to heart was we just got motivated, and we said, I mean, we were hurt. We're like, what? We're working our butts off here. But we redirected that into a very positive manner. We took that as a positive thing for us, and it was a turning point in our company because we decided that we were going to be the most personable people in business, that we were going to get to know our customers. So a lot of things came out of that. iThemes TV, which was our weekly show we did, that kind of morphed after that, you know, big hurtful question by you, Jeff. We did, I didn't prepare for this in the pre-show. No, but we did iThemes TV for almost, I think, over 2 years. Every Tuesday we sat on some couches that kind of morphed into a lot bigger setup, but we just said, we're going to get in front of people, and every week we're going to tell people what we're doing. And the response was amazing. I still have people, you know, when I kind of talk about the early days and stuff, mentioned how they would watch us on Ustream, iThemes TV on Ustream, and us on the couch and chat with us and banter and stuff. It was an incredible time, and I think one of the biggest things that could have happened for us as a company, because we took it personal and said, let's be those people that everybody know. You can go to websites on this on the web, and I still get miffed when I go to a website and I'm trying to find the about page so I can see pictures of real people. Because of all that time, because it shaped the DNA of who we are today and who will always be as long as I'm involved in the company. And we just want people to know that when you buy a product or service or whatever from us, that there's real human beings behind that who have families whose passions are revolved around this business. And so that's been infused. That was probably one of the best things early on, Jeff, that really could have happened to us in all seriousness, because we took it to heart. So we started trying to get to WordCamps. We did our own little workshops where we would meet customers in person. And it's something I do to this day when I travel, is try to tell people I'm going to be at a place, because if people want to meet me, I want to meet them, especially if there are customers who put their hard-earned money, you know, down on the table to exchange, you know, products with us, with their money and their value and all that kind of stuff. That's a very intimate thing, and we take that seriously. So anyway, that was some of the things that came out of that conversation. And, you know, as I look back, you know, I'm really kind of half kidding you, Jeff, but so much it put a mark on who we are now as a company.
I'm starting to get the feeling that I should hurt your feelings and a lot of other developers' feelings more often if this is the kind of benefits you get out of it.
The great thing about you, Jeff, is you were never personal about it. You were just, we were talking about this. You just kind of have this reputation for being, you just say what you're thinking, and that's always nice. It's never intended to be hurtful at all, but that's what I love about you, is what you see is what you get. You're a WYSIWYG version of a human being, and that's refreshing in the world.
That's the quote of the day. Now, it's an incredible story, because you took this negative feedback. You guys were working your butts off, and now you guys turned it around. You're talking to your customers. You're saying, hey, here's what we're working on. This is why you haven't heard from us. Look at what's coming down the pike. Here's a preview. This is what we're doing. And your customers, I participated in a few of those, and your customers were loving it. They loved it. They showed up every week wanting to talk to and get to know the people making the products they love. And that's just a fantastic thing, I thought, where here we go, finally, a company that gets it. They're connecting to their customers on the one-to-one level and actually letting them know that these are people living lives that care about what they're doing. They're working really hard. And if you don't hear from them, this is why. And just getting an update from them every week. I mean, that was just a fantastic thing to see. And there's not, you know, what you guys are doing and how you connected to your customers on a one-to-one level is something that, yeah, we see occasionally now on Twitter or maybe the Facebook fan pages for some of these companies, but how you guys did it with video and you just sat on the couch and let people talk to you, I mean, that was incredible. I'd love to see more companies do the same types of things that interact with their customers that you guys do.
Yeah, some of the best things have come out of just getting really, really pissed about stuff. So about, I don't know, a couple months ago, this had kind of been brewing in me, is when you're talking about this, it just kind of stirs this up in me again, is that I think in business today, we've lacked this thing of that business is about serving people. It's not about software. It's about people. And so this big component was welling in me, and, you know, going back to all this, I think to myself that it's intimate to be able to exchange money for products and services and stuff like that. We take that very, very personal, because when you or someone buys a product from us, that helps me live the life I want, to be able to feed my family and work my passion with people I love and care about. And so I think there's one word missing in entrepreneurship today that I wanted to change. And so I put out the new rules for entrepreneurship that had kind of been well enough, and really just frankly because I was pissed off at how business was being run today. But the key word is care. Just care. That, you know, when I started the business, I had grand dreams that were very selfish, and that were I wanted to work my passion and I wanted to work with people I loved, serving people I really cared about. But the ultimate is if I stop caring about our customers and I start caring about our team, we're going to sink and we should fail. And but I think so often today I see businesses out there that just don't give a crap. And it's this lacking of empathy in the world of that we're serving human beings. Entrepreneurship is so much about service. Every day when somebody, you know, buys a product from us, it's our job to serve that person. And they have recourse to, you know, do a refund and all that kind of stuff and, you know, gripe on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. But if we forget that, that's a core value that, you know, I don't know. You got me sidebarring here. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, as I hear you talk about business, now I understand why so many people love just sitting in a room at, let's say, Pressnomics and listening to you speak. Because just about after every sentence you talk about when it comes to business, it's like, boom. You know, that's the Corey Miller I know on Twitter. Boom, boom, boom. You know, just, you know, I don't know how many earthquakes you've caused down there in Oklahoma with all your business advice ending everything with boom, but, you know, we could tell just from your words and how you talk that you're passionate about this stuff, you love being an entrepreneur, and you love interacting with customers. And, you know, going back to 2009, which was the time where this major pivot took place, where you really wanted to interact and get a one-to-one relationship with your customers, you also acquired a domain, which is just a fantastic domain. I don't know how you got this, but it's called webdesign.com. And you folks decided to use the domain for exactly what it's about, web design, teaching people web design skills. You know, how did you manage to acquire a nice domain like that, and what's been the response towards the service?
So I tell people this, any success I've been able to enjoy in business has been attributed to being at the right time, at the right place, with the right partners. And I was ready to push the button and go for it. So the part that people don't really probably hone in too much is that the right – I always say the right partners. So back in like 2007, I met two fellow Oklahomans who had done some really cool stuff in the web space and got to know them, and we just synced core values, who we were as a person, just great people. I count these two gentlemen – some of the best friends in my life now, and they happened to have a very good domain name portfolio, and so I pitched the idea for what would become iThemes to them. They were the ones that helped get me the seed money to initially start iThemes back in 2008, and so I knew they had this domain name sticking out there, and I thought one day I'm going to prove to them that we can be a success and that we can do something with that domain if the timing is right. And so I'm trying to think the timing of that, when it was 2009 maybe, when we started having conversations and said, hey, we're making money, we're doing stuff. What we're seeing is people want to we're seeing people that go to the our support system, and no matter what we do programmatically with software, we still can't translate. There's some things like CSS that's so just – I've never seen somebody do the easy button with a CSS builder. Even as good as Headway is, you know, there's so many things out there with CSS. And so we thought, we want to do training. And one of our core values at iThemes is learn and grow, then teach and share. And so webdesign.com pivoted. We actually started with services, pivoted in about a two-month period and realized we sucked at services, and released webdesign.com as a training library. And now we've got, I think, close to 600 hours of training. We do 15 to 20 hours a month of live webinar screen share-based training, all in this avenue of helping people learn and acquire skills, specifically WordPress web design skills that they can use to either get a job or make money selling their work to clients. So that's how web design – basically, my partners had that domain, and we proved that we – could be trusted with an asset like that, and wanted to make a business around it, and have been blown into going ever since with webdesign.com.
So up till now, up to where you get acquire webdesign.com, we know iThemes primarily as just a commercial theme space. This is where we go to look up business-oriented themes. And, of course, you guys have just recently published Flex at this time. Then you get webdesign.com. And webdesign.com is the first in a, I don't know if I want to say, like you say, pivot, some a transitional period for the company where instead of just being themes, now you've got webdesign.com and you're offering, you're training people. It's an extension part of the iThemes business. Would you classify webdesign.com as under the iThemes brand, or is it just is it a separate entity?
It's the same entity, and it has been okay. since we acquired it. So what we've done is tried to be our own startup incubator. And so when we see needs that our customers have that we think we can solve with good solutions, we take little bets, and we devote resources, time, and money. In fact, I've got conversations going, just this week about things that we're trying to do, take little bets on the next couple of years in our company's future that I'm super excited about. But just back then, it was just, hey, we feel like there's a need within our customer base, and we think we can solve it with X solution. Webdesign.com was one of those. Still continues to be where, we're just kind of helping people along, and people that have been with us for years since we started that are still part of that community, have seen their growth and transformation in their personal and professional lives has been pretty remarkable. So that's just kind of our mentality, is like there was people that started around the same time as me that were such good craftsmen and craftswomen and technicians and did such amazing work. I was never one of those. I always tell people I can hack CSS. The guys and gals at iThemes don't let me near like the keys to servers and sites and stuff like that. I don't push buttons anymore very much that have to do with updates and stuff like that. That's all staged and done by other people, and they say, just could you please not wreak havoc on our system? So just trying to provide those solutions and help people out. That's the key in solving problems for people, making their lives awesome. That's our like fuzzy mission statement at iThemes.
Now, just out of curiosity, if someone were to go through a class or training seminar through webdesign.com and they finish it up, do they get like a graduation certificate? Do they come down to Oklahoma and you fly everyone in and you have like a ceremony or anything?
No, we should though. That'd be awesome. We feel like learning, when you were kind of kidding me about eating books and fiber and all that kind of stuff, I'm a lifelong learner, and I believe all human beings should be lifelong learners. And so there's never a graduation ceremony per se at webdesign.com or anything we do, including our team and including myself. It's an ongoing thing. You know how much – we're just talking about how much has changed in WordPress, just WordPress. But web design and technology and software and all that stuff continues to be a radical pace of innovation. So lifelong learners is what we try to do. So it's every month just seeing where our people are and helping them get to something, making them better so they can achieve their hopes and dreams. So no graduation ceremony, just making sure we keep a pulse on where the technology is going, innovative solutions, and then making sure we also understand where our customers are and trying to move them past, in a sense, to the next level. And I don't think that ever stops.
Right. So around January of 2010, iThemes releases a theme called Builder, which in my opinion was one of the revolutionary themes at the time. And just a great name for it because of what you were able to accomplish with it. Now, Builder was not only just another theme, but from my point of view, it became a flagship product for the company. Can you tell us the impact Builder has had on iThemes?
Yeah, I talk about our first little like home run or maybe a triple play, triple. It was Flex, and you already mentioned that, and our next pretty much home run for the company was Builder. And 4 years ago, this December, that's when Builder was released. It was about a
It's been 4 years already.
Yeah, 6 to 9 month process. Wait, am I doing my math right? I'm pretty bad about that, but I know it came right after Flex in our first year. So we're going to be 6 years old in January. So, but anyway, Flex Builder came out, and that was just to solve a problem again for people. I told Christine, our lead developer, who has built Builder and championed a lot of the technological innovations we've had at iThemes, who's been with me for 5 years now, I said, you built Builder for me. Because to be able to switch sidebars and switch your layout and add widgets and you could have a whole page of widgets and all that kind of stuff. Back then, yeah, absolutely, it was revolutionary. And we still feel like it's a great, awesome, innovative tool for people to be able to quickly deploy WordPress websites with different views of landing pages and, you know, inside you can have a different layout for your categories, different page layouts, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty much an infinite layout solution for people. With the idea of that, we were in the early days, we would release a theme with what we called it, like a static layout with a right sidebar or something, and invariably somebody would say, I want it on the left sidebar. And so we'd have to say in our support system, basically, here's how you change that in CSS. Chris said, enough of that. Let's make it easy. It's going to be a click that you can do that kind of thing. And so that is iThemes Builder, and I really appreciate you saying those kind words about it, Jeff, because I'm very proud of that product still and proud of that product and use it quite a bit.
Now, if we look at something like Genesis by StudioPress, it's a framework, but Genesis has become almost like its own industry, its own entity within the WordPress space. It's like there's WordPress and then, you know, there's Genesis, and Genesis has all these child themes and everything else around it. Has iThemes kind of taken that approach to Builder, where Builder becomes its own like entity, its own separate thing, and you have all these child themes and this industry around it? Or is it just sort of just another theme that you guys offer?
No, it is the flagship theme that we offer, although we still have, I think, almost 200 themes in the library. 80 of those are Builder themes. The rest are go back to the first theme we ever released called Essence back in 2008. But just mentioning Genesis and some of the other, like Headway and different things, it's amazing to see how much innovation in the theme space has happened in 5 years. It's just incredible to see how much cool stuff has happened. Builder is meant to be a tool to be able to quickly deploy WordPress websites without touching much of the code. Now, if you have to, you want to recreate, you know, build this deep, customized version of something, you're going to have to get in there and get dirty with CSS. But we built the ecosystem in sense of we want that to be a tool to allow people to save time and energy building sites where they can spend more time with their clients using their expertise to, you know, share how they can use their websites more effectively. And so it's meant to be a time-saving tool for people. And we've seen that quite a bit in the last couple of years, just people that use that as their primary tool.
Just going back, you said Builder themes. You didn't say Builder child themes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a distinct difference between the two?
So for us right now, what we did was the first couple of years of Builder, it was Builder was the parent, and then we built child themes that leveraged the Builder layout technology and things like that. A couple months ago, we decided that's been habitually confusing to our customers. You know, we still get the question, is it for babies? Like, is this a baby thing? Like, if I have a newborn? We've got all kinds of questions.
Have you ever had any questions about grandchild themes, or grandpa, or grandma, or, you know, the hierarchy, yeah. Great-grandma child theme.
Yeah. What we found is that, you know, those are great terms for developers and very accurate terms. However, for by and large, the majority of people, they don't get that. And so it's like this educational process passed of just, this is what your theme can do for you. So back in, I think it was August, we released a version basically saying, we're just going to make them themes. Now, it still has the Builder layout engine and all the cool stuff we built into Builder, but they're not going to have this parent-child relationship. And so now they're all 80 Builder themes. And so we're just trying to probably kind of make that a little bit easier for the customer. Now, when you activate Builder, there's a screen that says create a child theme so that you can preserve your customizations you might make to that. However, so that the parent, well, not parent, but the base Builder theme that you've installed can be auto-updated without breaking your customizations.
Boy, I'm starting to wonder if we should start putting up like family trees for themes. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So around
they all trace back.
Yeah, they all trace back. March 3rd, 2010, another big milestone for iThemes. You launch a plugin division of the company called Plugin Buddy. Now, at this point, you use Plugin Buddy to sell GPL licensed plugins such as the popular Backup Buddy plugin. Mm-hmm. Now, what was the goal in setting up a commercial plugin division of the company? Because in 2012, it was rolled into the iThemes website redesign.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we thought, well, we'll create this new brand because iThemes is like themes. But what's funny is, you know, here we are in 2013, 5.5-ish years into the company history, and we're really – themes are a very small fraction of what we do. By and large, we're a plug-in company centered around BackupBuddy, of course, is our main. But we've got 20-plus plugins now that we run, including
– I just want to emphasize, you said that you – You used to be known as a theme company, but now you're saying you're a plugin company.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big change.
We have been for a while. I mean, we've got, by last count, I think five full-on back-end PHP WordPress developers in our company. They're kind of out as a clump. They probably outnumber everybody in our company, and we're up to like 22 or 23, I think, now. So we've always been focused on how can you build awesome software in the back end that helps make people's lives easier? And so from the get-go with Christine has led that kind of charge, and we've got Dustin Bolton, who's the lead developer at BackupBuddy, and now we've got Lou and Glenn, who co-lead the iThemes Exchange e-commerce plugin project. Then we have an internal developer nobody's ever heard about because he doesn't want you to know who he is, that runs all of our back-end systems. And I think I'm up to five now. But yeah, so we've had that emphasis since we hired Chris back then, and just, you know, really built our company around that. And so, you know, since BackupBuddy came out, I mean, that was our grand slam home run, and still is, and we continue to iterate and make it better and better for people. But it was a shift for us that we wanted to double down into plugins to provide functionality and features that don't come packaged with WordPress to make people's lives easier. That we saw the theme space gets so heated, and not to disparage any front-end developer, but if I can build a theme, anybody can learn to build a theme. Now, I would do it crappy, but you know, plugins are different. They're more software-focused stuff with heavy PHP and all that kind of integration stuff in the back end. So we've really focused on that and been doing that for a long time. And, you know, the two big blockbuster plugins we have are BackupBuddy and iThemes Exchange. iThemes Exchange, our e-commerce plugin that we launched in July, is the biggest project we've ever taken on at iThemes. Two full-time developers plus a full-time front-end developer plus our creative director is about three-fourths of his time spent on that project, including a full-time support person, and Matt, our CEO, and myself, a lot of our time invested in that project, all because we want to build great solutions for people and innovate in the space, and we saw opportunities with both those areas, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this space, you have, you know, the Shot plugin, then all these years people have recommended WP eCommerce, then you had JigoShop, which we know that's become WooCommerce. You know, you want to talk about e-commerce and WordPress. WooCommerce is an industry in and of its own, and there are WooCommerce extension creators making a lot of money based on the whole WooCommerce ecosystem. That thing is huge, and here we have Exchange. And, of course, you guys enter the market, the e-commerce solution market, and say, hey, this is going to be a free plugin, and we're going to continue to update it and add different add-ons to it. And so far, what's been the response? What's the response been like? Has there been a lot of uptake of Exchange?
Yeah, I always tell people that's a long roadmap. E-commerce is the biggest thing, like I said, we've ever taken on, and it's got a long roadmap. You mentioned the big heavyweights in the space, Shop plugin by Jonathan Davis, WooCommerce, and WP Commerce is the longtime like veteran of the space. Back in late January, we decided, okay, it's time. I've always wanted to do something in the e-commerce space, and we decided that we're just going to do it from scratch, and we felt like the right way for iThemes is to build that from scratch to take a different spin on e-commerce, and not to disparage any of the other plugins or any other e-commerce solutions out there at all, because I have great respect for them all and what they do, because we've done e-commerce now, is that we decided that e-commerce needed to be made simpler and easier for people, that you shouldn't have 500 options when you only need one. So we went to work with Glenn in January of this year, late January, and launched that in beta in June-ish, and went live with it, version 1, to offer a free version of that to sell digital products. And so that launched in July, and now we're in November, and you can do with Exchange. You can sell digital products for free. Physical products that have flat rate shipping, so people that have like Etsy level like craft stuff or something that can be shipped easily and, you know, some kind of flat rate thing. And in addition to membership sites. So you can do all that with Exchange. It's gone well, but it's a battle that we are facing every single day of just finding our place in the market. And then this long roadmap. There are 5,000, you know, combinations of things that people want with e-commerce. And we want to figure out where we fit in that and make sure we are building solutions that people actually want. So it's a learning experience, and it's the most expensive one we've ever taken on. But I've loved every single day that we've been in this journey with e-commerce in Exchange, and continue to help people just do what I was able to do 5.5 years ago, which is start my own business and sell products online.
Yeah, see, I have it in my show notes here that iThemes Exchange is not something I expected iThemes to launch or to get into, the whole e-commerce space. But after listening to you especially, I'm not surprised that you did.
Yeah.
You know, you've there are established people out there in the e-commerce space, but obviously if you feel like you could do something better, you can make it easier, why not go for it?
Yeah. I think that's the job of an entrepreneur and also in businesses is continue to see what's out there and see if we can make something better for people.
Speaking of e-commerce, which is just – when I think of e-commerce, I think of huge, complicated hassle. I mean, that's pretty much that's what I think of e-commerce. What's been the biggest, let's say, hurdle that you're trying to accomplish with e-commerce? What's been the most difficult aspect of it all?
Building an advanced product that most of it has to be built behind the scenes, like with an API stuff and all kinds of things, just to make it work where you can get to the point to help people to sell products. That's a big part of the development cycle for that. Two biggest complications in e-commerce is shipping and taxes. Had no idea that Europe had this thing called VAT. I've never been to Europe. But one of our lead support managers in the Netherlands and was saying, hey, you need to do something for VAT. And then you look at all the complications for that. Even state to state here in the U.S., there's different things. You go down to a county level here in the States. Canada has all different tax structures. And then you add on top of that shipping. So FedEx, UPS, just here in the U.S., and then you got maybe Australia, Europe, and with different postal systems and
delivery stuff. Do you actually have to do all the research for all that and put that in there, or are you able to tap in outside sources through APIs in order to have that information in your product? I mean, just that alone would say, okay, I don't want to mess with e-commerce.
Yeah, all of that, all of the above we're doing. I mean, we just launched this week our first third-party add-ons with Web Dev Studios, my good friends Brad Williams, Lisa Sabin-Wilson, first add-ons for Exchange. So we knew we had to have more firepower on the project. I approached them. I wanted them to be a part of it because they are so good at what they do, and to partner with us on that with our roadmap. And then also Justin from Zio Web Design, who is one of the lead developers at WP Commerce, also released a paid plugin. We're working with other people like Thomas Griffin from Soliloquy, and I'm probably going to forget a lot of others, but just to do that, in addition to those, you know, two full-time back-end devs working on the project now, a lot of that, Jeff, has just been setting the stage for it, you know, getting the purchase transaction, payment integrations, the front-end checkout system, the back-end stuff that's in WordPress. It's been a huge, huge project, and we did it because, you know, few people can take that on, and especially from the ground up. You know, WP Commerce has been around for a long time. It predates me in WordPress, you know, and it's a big project, but it's good too because we want to give people the freedom and liberation of being able to do exactly like the principles of Flex and Builder that we were talking about is a philosophy within our company. I should be able to easily sell my product or service online, and so our goal with Exchange has been 5 minutes or less, be able to sell your product or service. And so we really, you know, said, okay, let's windle this down. What are the key things people need to know to get selling in 5 minutes or less? We try to make that process into the software where someone could literally say, I've got an ebook and I'm going to use PayPal, and be able to, in about 5 minutes, put their title, price, payment, integration with PayPal, description, push publish, and they're selling online. And that's liberating. That's a part of WordPress, big value. The reason why I love WordPress is freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom to do what you want on the web. You shouldn't have to have a PhD in computer science to be able to build a website. That's why we built Builder. You shouldn't have to have a PhD in e-commerce to sell things online. That's why we built Exchange.
So I don't know if Sarah's still there. She's been quiet this whole episode. You know what it is? She went to that meetup in Oklahoma and met you in person, and that's why she has no questions. She probably asked all of them right there and didn't record them.
Yeah, she was typing pretty fast.
So by the way, since we have two Oklahoma people on the show, is the proper term Okie? Do I call people from Oklahoma Okies?
They do indeed.
See, did you notice how she said they do? She's not originally from Oklahoma, but we totally claim her.
Oh, they do.
Are you originally from OKC, Corey?
No, a little town called Lone Grove, Oklahoma, with 3,000 people and one stoplight.
Oh, wow.
One stoplight. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask Corey?
No, I really did ask him all my questions the other night.
Oh, brother, great.
She said, what do you think about the GPL? She asked all the really hard-hitting questions.
No.
No, she didn't.
Okay, well, if Sarah doesn't have any questions for you, there is one more question that has nothing to do with WordPress that I wanted to ask you. You know, last year, I think it was May. I think it was around May of last year, maybe a few other times as well. Just kind of tell us what happened during the events of the huge, I think it's Elkmore, is that the city? Elkmore, when those huge tornadoes were coming through and a couple times looked like they were going to blow right through Oklahoma City. Tell us the location of your offices and if you suffered any damage or what's it like going through a scare like that? You know, because everyone on Twitter was like, oh my God, Corey, you okay? And
it was really
nice. Nothing happened.
Yeah, really nice. More Oklahoma tornadoes that happened really obliterated a big part of that swath of that city. That was the second time. Back in the late 90s, there was a huge tornado that did a lot of destruction, killed lives and stuff like that. Everybody thinks it's funny hearing everybody's view of Oklahoma that it's either teepees and Indians or tornadoes. I've actually heard that before. And so my job is to present a better image of Oklahoma. But here's the thing with tornadoes, and Sarah knows this too, living in Oklahoma. We have some of the most advanced, awesome meteorologists and systems of early warning. So many people knew of that system coming up through Moore and the surrounding cities there that they were able to take shelter. It's amazing, and it's a tribute to the technology and the people that we have here that more lives weren't lost. But, you know, our office, so that's in Moore, Oklahoma, which is probably about 5 miles south of downtown Oklahoma City. Our office is located 15 miles north of Oklahoma City downtown in the suburb called Edmond. And so that day we had already sent people home and everything. The second set of tornadoes that happened after the big thing that hit all the news was we're here. My house is actually close to downtown Oklahoma City, and my wife and I and our son at the time, who is 4 months old, 5 months old, we saw it coming, and it was just kind of looking like it was either going to hit Edmond in our office and some of our people live up there, but it took a turn, and we got out and went to a friend's house and got in our Frady hole. So that's our storm shelter.
Wow.
But it was fine. It was totally fine, and we were safe, and thankfully not, there wasn't, you know.
You know, Oklahoma City is like a tornado magnet, man, between Moore and Oklahoma City, and I was actually here. I think it was raining here, but anytime there's a big tornado episode like that, I'm always live streaming right here up in Ohio, and I'm watching the they have all the live streams down there. And you know, you figure in Tornado Alley, you better have the most advanced equipment you have, because you know down there you need it the most. And the that one guy I was listening to, the first branch of tornadoes, I think it was Elk City, or it was west of Oklahoma City, where the Twistex tornado chasing team were killed from that tornado because it took a devastating turn south. I was actually watching the forecaster, and he's taking a lot of heat for it because he told people in Oklahoma City, if you have the chance, drive south. You know, get out of the way. He told people to drive.
Uh-oh.
But at the same time, when he said that, it was 40 minutes prior to the storms reaching the Oklahoma City area. And, you know, his take on it was that if it's an F5, chances are you're not going to live through it. Nothing, you know, you really ever have a chance to live through an F5. So if you've got the time to drive out of the way of the storm, then why not? Yeah. But and then these 40 minutes later, they're showing screenshots of the highways, and they're all gridlocked, and, you know, they're kind of blaming it on him. But anyways, glad to hear that you're safe and sound. Congratulations on the baby, by the way.
Thank you so much.
And I hope you stay safe. And that was just incredible to see all those tweets from people in the WordPress community saying, "Hey, Corey, everything fine? Yeah, I'm okay." So that was cool to see. You know, just one of the benefits of the WordPress community. We like to care for each other, kind of know where everybody's at in the country. So that was cool to see.
Very, very nice indeed. That's a special part of the WordPress community right there, that word care.
Word care. Is that a plugin?
Word care. There you go. That's a plugin.
But, Corey, I want to first congratulate you on being able to successfully pivot your company to branch off and to be successful in multiple different areas. I know that's not a very easy thing for an established company to do. Usually they're a one-trick pony. So congratulations for that, and thank you very much for kind of going back in time with me on this edition of WordPress, because, you know, as I said, you went through it from a developer entrepreneur point of view, and I went through it as an end user point of view. So I think it was great to kind of have both perspectives talking about those time periods at the same time.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's been great to see the tavern up and running, spinning, and then a great addition with Sarah. I mean, you guys are leading and setting the bar for WordPress News, and it's good to see a sustainable long-term, you know, vision for one of the news outlets, and I'm glad it's you guys.
Well, you know that check you're going to send me after the show? Make sure you put a return address. I'll send it right back.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for being on the show, Corey.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
So that's going to do it. In terms of guests next week, we don't have a guest scheduled. I'm going to try and lasso up some people to get on the show. Maybe we could have a little bit of a roundtable and talk about developments that are ongoing with WordPress and just kind of sit back and kind of take in all the work that's going on around the WordPress community. But we don't have any special guests lined up that week. But the week after, we're going to have Brian Garner of Studio Press. He's scheduled to be on the show. And I'm going to kind of take the same track with him that I did with Corey and just kind of go back in time when he started Studio Press and talk about where they're at now today. But that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JEFFR0, and you can follow Sarah on Twitter at
Polly Plummer, PollyPlummer.
Fantastic. That was perfect. So until next week, everybody, have a safe weekend.